Holy Spirit will guide. Amen. So today's gospel brings us the very famous praise of Virgin St. Mary that we all know very well when she met with her cousin Elizabeth. And she said that beautiful phrase about "my soul magnifies the Lord." And she gave that beautiful praise that you could spend days and hours and a long time trying to figure out everything that she talked about in that passage of prayer, of praise. But if you had to come up with like a theme of what it is that she's praising God for, what would you say is the theme of her praise? Like, why is she in such a good mood today? This is a lady who just found out that she's pregnant, okay, and she's in a very good mood for some reason today. And she's singing and she's praising God with all kinds of good stuff. What's the theme of her prayer? Let me read some of the verses for you. Tell me what the theme of her prayer, her praise is. It says, "My soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. He has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. Behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm, he has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, Abraham and his seed forever." What's the theme of her praise? What's she so happy about today? That she has a baby? Is that what she's so happy about? That she gets to be pregnant? That she gets to raise a family? Is that what she's so happy about? What's she happy about? Yeah, is that God is going to save the world. That God is going to deliver the world. That God saw his people, Israel, like St. Mary, for those who don't realize it, was a scholar of the Word of God more than anyone else. And you see in the prayers that she said, and the praise that she was a scholar, and she knows the history of Israel, and she knows all that Israel had been through, and all that Israel had waited for, and all that Israel had seen, and all that they had been through. And she's saying, finally, today, the day that God has shown his power and shown his strength, and God is going to deliver his people. We learn theology lessons from Virgin Mary. We also learn an English lesson from St. Mary. I know school's out, it's Christmas break, but let's try to use our minds to learn and ask you an English question. See who remembers something from third grade English. What tense of verb does Virgin Mary use when she praises God for delivering his people? What tense of verb? Do you guys know what tense means? Who graduated third grade? Okay. Third grade verb, tense of verb means like past, present, or future. Okay? There's all like the advanced ones, which are like fourth and fifth grade, but we'll leave those aside. Okay? We'll stick with just simple. She's saying something that happened yesterday, today, or tomorrow. Okay? Yesterday, today, or tomorrow. Past, present, or future. What's she talking about? Past presents? Past events? Present events? Future events. Tell me what word is repeated. He has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. He has done great things for me. His mercy on those who fear him. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel. What's the word that's repeated most often in this passage? Has. Has is what? It's past. She's praising him for something in the past. This confused me. Did God deliver Israel yet? Did God deliver Israel yet? You know the most important verse in this passage? Or did anyone find the clicker? Anyone know what the clicker is? Maybe people in the back click for me who can't seem to find the clicker. Click in the back for me. Look at the most important verse. This is what Elizabeth said right before Virgin Mary said her praise. "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which are told her from the Lord." Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things told her from the Lord. Has God delivered his people yet? You want to know what faith means? You want to know what Virgin Mary belief means? It means to believe that something has happened, even though it hasn't happened. Watch that one. To believe that something has happened, even though it hasn't happened. She believed that God has delivered, even though he hasn't delivered. Has God been born in the world? Was the world any different today, Virgin Mary, than it was just yesterday? No, what's the difference? No difference. In fact, even though you're pregnant, thank you very much, the baby hasn't been born, the Savior's not in the world, nothing's happened, the world's exactly the same, you still have, from if you're just looking with your eyes, you are enslaved to the Romans, you're still enslaved to the Romans. You lived in a miserable world, you still live in a miserable world. Everything's the same. Nothing has changed. But wait a minute. She believed that even though it hasn't happened, it has happened. Here's the thing about faith and about God's deliverance. God wants to deliver you, and God will deliver you. That's his promise, not my promise, is that God hears the cries of his children. We'll see that in a little bit, how God hears the cries of his children. There ain't one cry that's ever been uttered. In one cry, I want you to imagine, like heaven, this is God's altar in heaven, okay, up in heaven. And every time I pray, I'm like a visual person. So it's me, like, imagine myself like a small little person throwing prayers up there. Just throwing them. You know, like these 10,000 little pieces of paper that get put up here on the altar? Okay, like these things? These are all your prayers, okay? And every one of your prayers hopefully makes it up here on the altar. But you better believe that every single one of your prayers that you pray, there ain't one prayer that doesn't get up there. That one prayer that doesn't get up there, God hears them all and God will deliver. But when God delivers, how he delivers is different than usually what we expect. We want him to deliver with thunder and lightning. That's what we want. Thunder and lightning. Shake the world. Swallow up the bad guys. Finish everything. Boom! That's not how God delivers. God delivers by saying yes today. Here's the thing. When God says yes, you pray. If God says amen, that's it. He opens, no one shuts. He shuts, no one opens. Right? Now the Bible says, he says amen today, you'll get there. You know what the most important virtue the Bible says? To be a perfect, who knows their Bible well? Book of James. To be perfect and complete, lacking nothing, you need what? To be perfect and complete, you lack, in, not wisdom, close, the verse before it. That's James 1:5. James 1:4, patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. You know why patience is the most important virtue? You know why you need patience? You know why if you have patience, you will be perfect and complete, lacking nothing? Not because patience will perfect you, but patience will allow you to get out of the way to allow God to do what he's doing. That's what patience is. Patience doesn't fix your problems. Patience allows you to sit on the side and get out of God's way so that God can do what he's going to do. Because just like Virgin Mary realized, is that when God wants to deliver his people and show his might and show his power, God does so, but he doesn't do it with thunder and lightning. He does it with a promise. And he gives you a promise. And then the next day, it's exactly like being pregnant, just like her being pregnant. He gives you a promise, and the promise is conceived. And it doesn't come out that day. Promise grows a little bit the next day. And the promise grows a little bit the next day. And then the promise goes a little bit the next day, and it keeps on growing until it's perfect. But here's the thing. Once there is a promise in there, hey, it's coming out one way or the other. It's coming out one way or the other. In no way it's going to sit there. It's coming out one way or the other. That's what, the way God delivers us. Maybe the problem for you isn't that God doesn't hear your prayers. Maybe the problem for you is that you don't give him a chance to fulfill those prayers. Maybe it's not that he doesn't hear. Maybe it's that you don't give him a chance to prove that he hears. Two readings that we read today spoke about Old Testament characters. Pauline epistle spoke about Abraham. Acts spoke about Moses. Okay, very good. Let's start with Moses and work our way backwards to Abraham. Moses was a great example. I read to you what it said. Book of Acts, chapter 7, was when St. Stephen was giving his famous speech, and he was speaking about the history of Israel. And he's talking about Moses. I didn't put the verse up on the screen. It said, "This Moses whom they rejected, saying, 'Who made you a ruler and a judge?' is the one God sent to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush, saying that God sent Moses to be a ruler and a deliverer. You know what deliverer is? Like savior, okay? Moses was to Israel what Christ is to us in a lot of ways, right? He's a type of Christ. He came to save the people who were living in Egypt, okay? Came to save the people who were living in Egypt and deliver them to another place. So God is coming to deliver, Christ is coming to deliver us who are living on earth, okay? And take us someplace better. So come to save us. But they rejected Moses. And they said, you're not the kind of deliverer we were looking for. We were looking for more of someone to come with this kind of boldness or army or something. They didn't accept Moses as a deliverer. And in fact, what you'll see about the people of Israel with Moses is also they rejected him not only before he delivered them, but after, right? In the wilderness, they complained and they wanted to kill him, even though he had delivered them. And by his hand, the sea split and everything was good. But they didn't give him food. He didn't give them food, so they wanted to kill him. Prayed and gave them food. Then they wanted a drink to go with the food. Prayed and got them drink. Then they wanted a different kind of food. They rejected him even after he had delivered. God wants to work with us in a very, very similar way. Let me ask you a question. God sent Moses to deliver Israel. When was Israel delivered by God? When Moses went to Pharaoh, Red Sea. You know when Israel was delivered? I'm going to show you a passage from Exodus chapter 2. Okay? Exodus chapter 2. Just to get the history. God calls Abraham in the burning bush. Where in the Bible? Exodus chapter 3. Technical difficulty kind of a day. Sorry. Can you hear me? So God calls Moses. So God begins with Moses in Exodus 3, the burning bush. That's Exodus 3. I'm going to bring you Exodus 2. Before God came to Moses, look what he said. Before God came to Moses, says, so God heard their groaning, there being the people of Israel. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. You know what God acknowledged them means? It means God answered. Israel was delivered before Moses was even called. God in Exodus 2 said, now I'm going to deliver my people. That's it. I say it, that's it. I open, no one shuts. I shut, no one opens. I said it, and it's done right here. And now we just need to go through the steps to kind of see it out. I'll give Moses a call, burning bush. We'll go to Pharaoh it's not in question whether the prayer's been answered. It's been answered. It's a matter that you haven't seen it. What you got to realize is don't get stuck by this thing called time. We live in time. God does not live in time. We live in today, tomorrow, the next day, the next day, the next day. That's not how God is above it. God looks at all the history of the world here. Here's the history of the world, right there. This is Adam and Eve, and this is the last day, right here, everything in between. God can look down and you see the entire history right there in very, very little small pieces. Look, there's George Washington, and look, there's Mr. Obama, right there next to each other. And he can see them, even though hundreds of years in between them. You see them right next to each other. Adam and Eve next to Moses, next to Abraham, next to my kids, next to my grandkids, my great-grandkids. He sees them all right next to each other. That's God. So God says something today. He's above time. God says the prayer is answered. And that's it. You may not see it on Sunday, or on Monday, or even on Tuesday. But if God said it, that's it. Who was the Pauline epistle about? It was Abraham. Is there a better example than Abraham? Abraham was counted righteous. Why? Because he believed. That's what it said. Because he had faith. What was Abraham's prayer? That was answered. What did Abraham want more than anything else? Kids. He prayed. Did God answer him? Yes. 100%. And he believed it. Let me ask you a question. How many kids did Abraham see? How many kids did Abraham see? 1.5, we can say. Okay? 1.5. That's it. He prayed, God said, I heard your prayer. You can have more kids than anyone else. Amen? Amen. He saw nothing. But he believed that his prayer was answered. You understand how this goes? Blessed is she who believed. There will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. God's promise to us today is a deliverer. A deliverer. And that's what Christmas is. That's why Virgin Mary prays so much. Christmas is God is coming to save us. And this is something to get excited about, people. This is why we sing during this time. This is why there's Christmas carols on the radio. This is why we decorate stuff. Because this is an exciting time. God has come to save his people. And there is not one person here today, okay, I don't care who you are, where you're from, or what your situation, that God's deliverance doesn't solve everything. That God's deliverance doesn't solve everything. Solves everything. Let me tell you, again, I'll read through this list of stuff here that it solves. He has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. He who is mighty has done great things for me. Has mercy on those who fear him. Strength with his arm. This is the list of stuff that you need deliverance. And this is the list of stuff that God is giving. He puts down the mighty from their thrones. He exalts the lowly. He fills the hungry. And he helps his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. Christmas is all about one thing. As we prepare for Christmas, we're preparing for one thing. For God looking down at me and answering my prayer. And saying amen to my prayer that I need a savior. And I need a deliverer. And God is never, ever going to be content with me being far away from him and struggling through life. Ever. God is never content with that. We get content with that. God is never content. Christmas is God coming close to save me, to deliver me, to give me himself. If you know how much God, not just, this is what I started saying recently, we're talking about at the retreat. If you know how much God doesn't just love you, do you know what else, God? How much he really, really, he likes you. Did you ever think about that? God likes you? Yeah, we know he loves us. Did you ever know he likes you? I know, it's hard to believe. Some of you, I know, it's hard to believe. God, for some reason, likes you. I know. You can't believe it. Your wife can't believe it. I know. But it's true. God likes you. After all that we've done, he really, really, really likes me. And sometimes, we don't think enough about that. Like, we all know God loves us, but we all have people that we love that we don't like. Okay? There's a lot of people we know that we love we don't like. Okay? We'll just leave it at that. But God really likes me to the point that he is not content to see me go through life and to suffer through it. He is not content to see me far away and by myself. He is not content until he can be not just, Christmas is not just he come close to me, but he come and live inside me just like he did Virgin Mary. That's what I want you to realize today. It's today your prayer has been answered. Today your prayer has been heard. And God is saying to you, that he has heard your prayer, he has seen your tears, and he is coming to deliver. But if you want to see that deliverance, blessed is she who believed. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which are told her from the Lord. I want someone to say this about me when I die. This is one of my verse. This is what I want to be at the end of my life, is that I believed. And I saw a fulfillment of those things which were promised from the Lord. And I pray that all of us can experience that during this time as we prepare for his glorious nativity. Glory be to God forever. Amen.